All right, amen. I hope you can say that. If you know the Lord Jesus, it's well with your soul. Thank you, Jesse. Nathan, we appreciate that good special. I want you to open your Bible to the Old Testament. I want to go to the little book of Ruth as it's Mother's Day. I'm going to one of the two books that's named after a woman in the Bible. You have Ruth, and of course you have Esther. I want you to go to the book of Ruth. If you get over to Judges, go to your right. If you get over to 1 Samuel, go back to your left, and you'll be right there in the little book of Ruth. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning, I guess for a subject for the tape. We'll call it, I thought about calling it the woman's road. You know, we have the Romans road for soul winners, but that wouldn't work. So we're going to call it Redemption Road, Ruth's Redemption Road. It's right through the book of Ruth we want to point you to this morning. And we are wanting to honor our mothers today, and women in particular. You know, a lot of jokes go back and forth, but I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't want to be a woman and put up with some guys I know, amen? Now, don't get me wrong, they have their way of also winning, but this morning we'll be on their side, amen? The thing about the lady on the fourth floor of the hotel, she called down to the desk. She said, "I need a maintenance man up here." The clerk said, "What's the trouble?" She said, "My husband is trying to jump out of the fourth floor window." She said, "Well, you don't need a maintenance man. You need to call 911. You need to call the law." She said, "No, I need a maintenance man. He can't get the window open." Now, amen. Ladies, that's for you. I want you to look at Ruth chapter 1. I'm going to just read 5 verses, and then I want you to keep your Bible open. As time will allow me, I want to go through a few verses in the book. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of the 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Ophir, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwell there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband." Now, for the sake of time, you remember, they went down there because of famine. Now they're in bad times. She's lost her husband. She's lost her sons. Here's a mother that's got 2 daughter-in-laws, no husbands. Times are rough again, and she hears there may be bread back home, back in Bethlehem, Judah, back there. And so she starts back home. She's in a bad way. She's in a desperate situation here. And the 2 daughter-in-laws go with her. But as they begin the journey, Naomi says to him, "I got nothing more to offer you. I've got no more sons for you to marry. It's going to be hard. I'm going to go back to my land, back home, but it's mortgaged. It's not mine, so to speak, anymore. And so I would tell you girls to go back to your home, go back into Moab there." And you remember that she talked one of them, Ophir, into doing it, but then Ruth said no. And one of the classic pieces of literature is what is said here in chapter 1 as Ruth gives an answer. And Naomi says in verse 15, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou judgest, I will Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Now, you've heard that at weddings. You've heard that. That's a classic statement here, even in the world's literature today. But as I think about it on Mother's Day, I'm going to leave some of the corruption I preach against away. I'm going to leave it alone somewhat, at least. Boy, can you imagine the evil that's taken place just between last Mother's Day and this Mother's Day? Just 1 year? Can you imagine that? This absurd, shocking stuff. I've been getting letters from preachers saying we ought to boycott, we ought to target. You know what I'm talking about? The Target store. By the way, this thing of letting the perverts into the restrooms is already showing up. In one of the Target stores, I understand that a little girl all of a sudden in the stall she was in saw a camera, a cell phone, come on the under the door, and she began to scream and holler, and her dad was outside. Did you hear the story? Was it on the news? Some preacher told me about it. And he said the guy ran, and when they called him, though, they found out that not only did he have the little girl's picture, now he was a guy, a man dressed up like a woman, still a man. I don't care what kind of dress you put on one of the perverts, he's still a man. And so they called him, and he had about 700 other pictures. That's what's being done. We got a crowd over here from North Carolina. Pray for the governor of North Carolina. They're really putting the pressure on him to back up on this thing. And the king in Washington is trying to say that you're not going to get your school funding if you don't change the law and let these perverts into your restroom. Isn't that amazing, folks? It's amazing. Governor in Virginia is turning 200,000 criminals loose so they'd vote. Guess who they're going to vote for? Amen. No, Mother's Day, let's think a little better about it. Thank God, mothers speak of something being right and being wholesome. And great men of old, you can find their quotes all over the place. All that I ever have become is because of mother. And we have sweet memories, of course, of mother. Chaplains on the battlefield tell us often that the last word on a dying soldier's lips is mother. And so it is a precious thing. But you know, as I name all the evil, I'm glad to know as I pick up God's book, it's a supernatural book. It tells me how it's going to turn out. And folks, if you're in Jesus Christ, you're going to win in the end. And I look at the Bible. Let me just say this. If you get the prophecies and the revelations of God's word, if you get to where you understand them, you'll find the theme is Jesus. It'll tell who he was, why he came, what he done, and what he's going to do when he comes back. And it'll take you all the way through, and you can follow many roads through the Bible. I'm looking at the road through Ruth this morning, but you can take it from Genesis to Revelation, and you can see God does have a destination in mind. He is getting there, and when you know what the destination is and you read how it comes out in the back of the book, you can look back over the trail and know you're on the right road. Amen. You'll see signs on that road. You'll see scenery that you'll recognize. And thus it is, as we go into the book of Ruth, that we see the whole picture that God, in all this chaos and all this increase of evil that's in the world today, he's not stymied. He's not sitting up there saying, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, no. He's got a plan, and that plan is on track. And that trail is all the way through the Word of God. And we'll trace it a little bit here through the book of Ruth. I want to just say this, that we know the end, so therefore we can follow the road. Now, the book of Ruth is called a great love story, and it is. Benjamin Franklin of old was an ambassador to France in our colonial days. And in France at that time, of course, that's famous for its atheism. And they had atheist clubs. We call them universities in America, but anyway, they were atheist clubs back in France in those days. And there, Benjamin Franklin started attending one. He'd go to their meetings. And he heard their arguments and all that, and they would do things. And so they set up a contest as to who could write the best love story. It was an attack on the Word of God that man could write better stuff than was in the Bible. So Benjamin Franklin entered that contest. And so what he did, he took the book of Ruth and he paraphrased it out and he wrote an essay on it. And he turned it in and he won the contest of the Atheist Club. And they were all praising him about it. And they said, "Where in the world did you get such a story?" He said, "Out of that book that you criticize, the book of Ruth." And it is a great love story. It is one of the greatest and that you could possibly read. But the book of Ruth also has a major point to it. Now, I want you to look at some things in the story. I got to kind of move quickly through it. I want you to see the women. I want you to see how they are marred, how they are mortgaged. They're in a desperate situation. You read here where these daughter-in-laws were out of Moab. Moab was a low-class place. Moab came from the incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters after they escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was looked down on by the Orthodox Jews, of course, of that day, and mostly the decent folks. Moab was called the washpot. In other words, the garbage can, if you please, of the area. And so Naomi and these two daughter-in-law start out. Ruth stays with her, and as they arrive in Bethlehem, Judea, the people, big stir, Naomi's coming home. And as they greet her, she says something like this. She says, "No longer call me Naomi," because Naomi means pleasant, "but call me Mara, because the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me." She was saying, everything's falling apart. I have nothing. My land I left here is mortgaged. I couldn't pay it off. And now I've got a daughter-in-law that's come with me, and I'm responsible for her. And she was saying, "I'm in a bitter fix. I'm in a mess," is what she was saying as she entered back into her hometown, as it were. I want you to see those women in that condition. Then I want you to meet the mighty and merciful kinsman. See it in chapter 2, verse 1. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, I want you to see that in chapter 2, verse 20. I want you to look over there and see that this Boaz, as a kinsman, had the right to redeem. And so you see it in verse 20, of chapter 2. And he says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Talking about her and her sons that were dead. "And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Now that last statement, "one of our next kinsmen," means he has the authority, he has the right to redeem back, because he's part of the family. And through the Jewish law, it is legal for him, if he will, to assume the debt, pay off the mortgage. He can redeem the land. He is a close kinsman. This is what Naomi was saying right now. He has the right to redeem. Now, the story goes that she and the Ruth come back to town, and of course, they have nothing. And there's a law in Israel that when the harvest is on and the barley is being harvested, that people could come and glean behind the laborers. And so Naomi tells Ruth, go out and glean. We got to have something to eat. Go out, get behind the laborers. It's the barley time harvest. You go out and you glean behind them. So Ruth was doing that. And the story is that she happens, and the word hap is used here in the text, that she hap to go into Boaz's field. Now, you know something? You think a lot of things just happen, but God is behind the happening. And here he was behind the happening. See it in verse 3 of chapter 2. And it says that she gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, H-A-P, was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. No, it wasn't hap, it was God involved. You know, you think, I just happened to come to church today. Maybe you did, maybe God wanted you to. Maybe he's in the circumstance. Maybe something happened to you this week. Maybe you heard something, you read something, you had something good happen or something bad happen. And we use the word happen all the time, don't we? But we better look and see where God is behind the happening. And he might have come for you to hear what you're going to hear today, because you need to be in the house of God, just like Ruth needed to be in that field gleaning. Now there she was, and she happened to come into Boaz's field. And the only one that could be of help to her, the only one that could be a close kinsman, the only one that could, as it were, pay off the mortgage and redeem back the situation of Naomi and of Ruth. He was the only one that could pay. Look at it in chapter 3 and verse 12. Boaz is speaking now, and he says, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I." We'll deal with him in a minute. Naomi describes Boaz in chapter 2, verse 20. "The man is near kin unto us, our next kinsman." That is very, very important for us to understand something. He was the only one that could pay off the debt. Under the Jewish law, he was the only one that could do that. Now, in verse 12 of chapter 3, he says, "There is a kinsman nearer than I." He recognized his position. He was a mighty man. He was a wealthy man. Turns out he was a very merciful man, very kind man, and yet he said, "There's one other that has the right above me." And the question always comes up, who was that? Who was it? Who was a closer kinsman than Boaz? You see, Boaz was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the one that paid for our sins with his shed blood, the only one that could pay off our debt, the only one that could lift the mortgage off our soul was the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was one closer than he. That was God. Now, get the picture. God is just. The word law or God's law would be the same as God. God could not overlook his law. Now, we see the FBI being pressured to overlook the law, if you know what I'm talking about. And man does that. But God would not overlook his law. There was a kinsman closer than Boaz. It was God represented by his law. And so we find that he would have had the first choice, but he says he couldn't do it. You'll find that Boaz goes and sits in the gate. Now the gate is the top of the court. He sits in the courtroom, as it were. And the next of kinsman, who's in the story, a real man, just like Boaz was, and he comes by, and Boaz says to him, come sit. I want to tell you that Naomi's got a piece of property to sell. I want to say to you that it's your right to redeem it as the first kinsman under the law." At first, the kinsman says, "Yes, I will." But then Boaz says, "Now there's one other thing you need to know. When you pay off Naomi's property, you also get Ruth." And you know what the first kinsman said? He said, "I can't do it because it would mar my inheritance." Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when you picture God, God said, "I just can't overlook my law. My law has to be satisfied." Do you understand that Jesus Christ came as God's Son to buy back, to redeem you and I? He becomes our close kinsman. Do you understand that God, if God looked upon me and you as a sinner, he'd have to say, "Guilty. You're lost. You're going to suffer in hell forever. My law cannot be broken." But all here we have a kinsman that could pay the price and redeem us, buy us back, take us out from all the penalty of the law. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, typified here by Boaz, the close kinsman, the only one that could pay the price. If you look a little bit further in chapter 4, I'd like for you to see it, several verses. Look in chapter 4, only four chapters, only a little over 2,500 words in the book. Look at it in chapter 4, pick it up with me. Verse 1, then went Boaz up to the gate. That'd be like the courtroom where the decisions were made. And set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside down here. And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men, the witnesses now, all the elders of the city, and said, set you down here. And they sat down, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Imelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he, the first kinsman, said, I will redeem it. Verse 5, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. You get the wife too. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the matter in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. That was the sealing of the bargain. That's what he was talking about here. Let me say this. Boaz, a type of Jesus. Who is Ruth? Ruth is a Gentile. She's not a Jew. She's a Moabitess. Here you have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for his bride, paying off a price as the near kinsman. And it's a Gentile bride. That means me and you got in. That's who we are. We're part of the Gentile bride. Oh yeah, Naomi was a Jew and the mortgage was paid off. And by the way, when Jesus comes back and catches his bride out, catches the saved out, catches the church out, he's going to do something else. Oh, we're going to be with him a little while, but then he's coming back and he's going to redeem the land. We got a crazy crowd in Washington and other places, the UN today, trying to take the land from Israel, but they can't do it. Because Jesus is the kinsman. When he comes back, he's going to restore it. And through the restoration of the land of Israel, the whole world is going to be blessed as the Messiah comes back and sets up his kingdom. And then they'll know, oh, we're needing him bad. We're needing him really bad right now. I believe he's coming for the saved first. Then I believe he's coming back to set his kingdom up on this earth. And in so doing, he'll have to fight the battle of Armageddon. He'll have to come back and set in order. The whole story is right here in the story of Ruth. You see, it's a wonderful thing to see God's road running, that road of redemption runs from Genesis to Revelation. You can spot it through the promised seed. You can spot it through many other ways. But here you spot it through the heritage of the Lord Jesus Christ running through the little book we call Ruth. Look at it with me. Look at it here and see how God's plan, his road is marked, his end is marked. Boaz is a type of Christ, taking a Gentile bride. Ruth then becomes the great-grandmother through this union of King David. And King David is through which the Lord Jesus Christ came. Look at the very last words of the book, the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth. And you find here, it says, verse 21, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. That was the son born to he and Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And it stops there, But you and I know that it was through King David's lineage that Jesus Christ came. So Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of King David and an ancestor of Jesus Christ. You see God's road of redemption running all the way through the book. God used women in the Bible. Ladies, he still wants you to use you today. Don't let anybody put you down that you happen to be a mother, maybe even a stay-at-home mother, one that understands you've got the biggest calling in the world under God to raise those kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And kids, you respect. There's a time in America motherhood was respected more than it is today. Now, it's still right to do so. I'll tell you something. God knew what he was doing. No matter the evil, no matter the trouble that we see today, God's plan's still on track. His road runs right on through that road of redemption from Genesis to Revelation. It is still there. And I am so thankful this morning that I know him as my kinsman. I was from Moab, as it were, the garbage heap of society. I was desperate. So were you. The scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you understand that was the pickle we were in? If Jesus hadn't come, we had no hope. But he becomes our kinsman redeemer. And he is the one that can pay the price and was willing to pay the price. The law couldn't do it. That's why today we're saved by grace and not law. You'll find here in the story of Ruth where she came before Boaz and she fell down and said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" I want to say to the Lord Jesus, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" But thank God I did. And it's that grace of God that Jesus Christ paid the price of, that I could not pay, that allows me to stand here today on the authority of God's book and tell you, you're in the condition of Ruth and Naomi, you need a kinsman. And Jesus wants to be that kinsman. And he will be if you let him today. He'll restore the mortgage on your soul. He'll pay a price that nobody else was qualified to pay. That's what happens when you trust Christ. You're trusting him as the one that took your place, the near kinsman that paid off the debt, that gives you his grace to be saved and live in eternity forever with him. Have you received him? Are you willing to claim kin with Jesus Christ? Are you? Are you willing to be on that road of redemption that's going to finally wind up in victory in heaven with the Lord? You get on it by receiving Christ. This morning, you can leave that seat, come down that aisle and say, "Preacher, I'll trust what Jesus did, not my church membership, not my baptism, not being good to my neighbor, but just him and him alone that died for my sins on the cross." You willing to do that today? I hope you are. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, "Preacher, I did that. I'm saved. I know it. I've trusted Jesus. He paid it all. And if I died today, I'd go to heaven." If you can say that by the uplifted hand, would you lift it up this morning? Would you lift it up? Thank you so many. Are you here today and you'd say, "Preacher, I couldn't be honest and lift my hand. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven." I'll tell you why you're not sure. You're not sure because you're trusting something you have tried to do and you're not sure if it's enough, that you've done enough. I want to tell you it's not enough. You can't pay for your own sins. Your righteousness is not enough. Only that kinsman redeemer, only the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can buy you back, redeem you. Will you let him do it this morning? Will you trust what he did instead of what you can or cannot do? I pray you will. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we've heard through a great story, a wonderful truth. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would planted in somebody's heart, out in Radio Land, here in the building. Lord, I pray that no one would leave here trying to trust they'd make it by themselves, that they'd see they need the kinsman redeemer. And we see what you used motherhood, how in the very ancestry, heritage of your son are these women that you used, this story, this wonderful story of redemption. Help somebody to see it's a picture of what you done in the Lord Jesus Christ for we that could not help ourselves. Blessing the invitation, Father, I pray that be one here without Christ, that today they'd come and receive him as Savior. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to step to the front. Will you meet me down here and say, preacher?